Just walk in and do whatever the Holy Ghost says tonight. Again, we're so thrilled to have Sister Bobby Wendell in the house with us tonight. The inimitable N.J. Wilson's in the house. What a wonderful word last night from Brother Walker. It's just been good around here, and it's getting gooder. Love what God is doing. If you're a guest in the house, if you're a guest to Pentecost, make yourself at home. You're here by divine appointment. Just drink in what God is doing. Brother Urshan, we're so glad that you're a neighbor, that you're in northern Mississippi. We're so glad that you've come to spend a little time with us. Take your liberty and preach in this house. Would you lift your hand toward him and just say, "You preach to me, preacher."
Oh, let's continue to give God glory all across this house tonight. Ah, come on, let's glorify his name. He's worthy of praise. Jesus is worthy of praise. I wish somebody just lift him up a little bit higher. Come on, shout just a little bit louder. How many know it's not by might, not by power, by his Spirit? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Ooh, there's an unction in the Holy Ghost here right now. Oh, let's just entertain this beautiful spirit that's in this place. Let's love him together. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Doesn't it feel good in the house of the Lord? Amen. Doesn't it feel good to feel the quickening power of the Holy Ghost? And people can make fun of us, they can poke fun, and they can laugh, but I came to tell somebody tonight that if that same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. One day, this stuff is going to go into the red line. Amen. And we're going to jump up, and we're not going to come back down. But we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this mortal is going to put on immortality. And this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And it's going to be brought to pass. The saying that is written, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. I can feel the unction of the Holy Ghost, and I feel very good about where I'm at right now in God. Thank you, Brother Sutton. Thank you, Brother Collins, and the precious Birmingham saints and those that have gathered here. It's an honor to be with you tonight, and I'm glad to see you. It's always a pleasure to see you, but I'm really glad Jesus is here. If you don't show up, we'll be sad. If I don't show up, oh well, but if he doesn't show up, then what in the world are we doing? Amen, and I'm glad he is in this house. Praise God, praise God. And I've heard the messages. Brother Walker, a dear friend, preaching about melancholy. And today, Brother Sutton and Brother Collins, I was taking notes as fast as I could. And Brother Sutton actually confirmed what I was going to preach tonight, sitting right over there. Just a little statement. God quickened my heart. Amen. And I think God's got some things for his people tonight. Amen. I think God has... He's got some things in store for us. Open your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 16. It's good to see Bishop Wilson. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Amen. I honor him and give him... I give him great regard. His ministry has been very impacting in my life. Romans chapter 16. And I hope I can follow in line with what God has already spoken. I have heard from the Lord this week, and I believe I have something from the Lord to share. And I'm going to turn your attention to Romans chapter 16. And verse 11. Romans chapter 16 and verse 11. Just a little scripture tucked away into the farewell to this church at Rome. He says this: Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. That melancholy you preached about, Brother Walker, you so aptly described the condition of the hearts of the people in the land in which we live. I don't know that we've ever been more self-centered than we are right now. And I want to preach to people that are wrestling with self, getting past self, getting out of yourself, and getting into Jesus Christ, because it's about Jesus. And it's not about you, and it's not about me, but it is about him. So tonight I want to preach about gifting, and I want to preach about pride. I want to touch on arrogance. And I want to talk to somebody tonight about the household of Narcissus. The household of Narcissus. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. I'm not wanting to preach a message that is gained just to excite, although I am excited about Jesus. I don't want to just rev up our engines to go home on an emotional high. But I think God is talking to us. And if there's ever been an hour in which we needed God to talk to us, that hour is right now. We need Jesus to talk to us right now. Among the myriad voices that are clamoring for our attention, the Bible describes them in 1 Corinthians 15, that there are many voices, and none of them are without signification. But the voice of the trumpet has to give a certain sound. Amen. And I want to give a certain sound tonight. I want to have an ear for the voice of God. So in the middle of social media, in the middle of Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, in the middle of YouTube, and in the middle of duck lips, and in the middle of selfies, in the middle of carefully choreographed place settings, 15 minutes to set up a dinner plate, 15 minutes to carefully prop a book up next to a steaming latte. In the middle of all of that, I want to try to put the focus on Jesus. Praise God. I want to just brag on Jesus tonight. I just want to talk about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. The old timers would say, my soul cries out, hallelujah,
Thank God for saving me.
Praise God. Let's take a minute. Let's talk about the futility of self for a second. I want to preach to people tonight that you're wrestling with things. There's things in this building tonight that we wrestle with. I wrestle with things. You wrestle with things. And the things of this world, they are so temporary. They are so temporary. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer told us to fear the Lord. He told us to love the simple joys and pleasures that God had given to us. And I like the way he said it, all the days of thy vanity. And he said this, he said, the day will come when your love will die with you, as will your hate. Your triumphs and your defeats will be forgotten. And all of the things that you vied for and you contended for will lay down in the dust with you, and a generation will arise that does not know what you did and doesn't care. I look at young people who they believe that they are the first ones to fall in love. Some people feel like they're the first one to be dumped by their significant other. You're not the first. You will not be the last. And so, wrestling with those temporary things, we stay preoccupied. We stay locked up. We let it bother us. We let it consume our mind. Hallelujah. And we let what people say bother us. We let our ambitions, making that extra dollar, trying to look big and look great. The Instagram world has become infamous for showing that everything's perfect, and you know it's not all perfect. I don't care how you posture it. I don't care how you pose it. I know you don't record the bad stuff. You record the good stuff. You want your enemies to think that you got it going on, and you don't got it going on any more than I got it going on. Amen. We got to get past the temporary, and we got to put the spotlight right where it belongs, because he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. Jesus is worthy of honor, and he must increase, and I must decrease. Glory belongs to him. Honor belongs to him. All dominion and all power, it belongs to God. So all the days of your vanity. Imagine what would happen if you could just get rid of all that stuff. That person you don't like, that person that you're worried about, that person that you're trying to get one over on. That person that hurt you, that person that abused you, I'm trying to tell you that it will end with you. So in light of that temporary dynamic, why don't we just all throw it to the wayside tonight? Get rid of the baggage in the name of Jesus Christ and get about our Father's business. There's souls that need saved. There's Bible studies that need to be taught. There's doors that need to be knocked. There's people that need to be ministered to. Hey, Katolo Boshaya. There are messages that need to be preached. There are songs that need to be sung. There are books that need to be written. And I'm talking to a generation to get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on him. Praise God. On a Friday night, I'm dealing with melancholy. On a Friday night, I'm dealing with the dynamic that's inside of us, that the glory that is, the desire for increase, rather, that is inside of us is of God. The desire to attain and to move and to go and to do, how about we harness it for the glory of God? You are a steward. You are a temporary handler of life. And to fixate on yourself is to miss what God is doing. You've got 70 years. You've got 70 years. And if by reason of strength you have 80, count yourself blessed. And during that 70 years, you don't need, and I don't need to waste it on temporary things. I don't need to waste it on bitterness. I don't care what they said about me. I'm still going to glorify God. Well, don't you know what they said about you, Brother Urshan? No, I don't know what they said. I don't care what they said. How about we talk about what God's doing? Come on. Why don't you talk about who got the Holy Ghost last week? But do you know that there's hypocrites in here tonight? There's always going to be hypocrites. But I want to know who got the Holy Ghost. I want to know who got baptized in Jesus' name. I want to know who turned from their sin. I don't want to hear about what the devil's doing. I want to hear about what God's doing. Narcissus. Greet the household of Narcissus. Interesting use of words. A Greek period, an era. They knew who Narcissus was. You know the story? That there was a young man. His name was Narcissus. He was from Thespia. It's where we get the word thespian, and it means an actor. One who is in a play, one who plays a part. I don't want to play parts. I don't want to be something I'm not and portray something I'm not. And we're living in a world of people who portray something that they are not. He was so handsome. He was too handsome for his own good. The gods grew angry with him because of his arrogance. And so, walking along the side of a stream one day, he sees his reflection in the water. And he's so good looking that he falls in love with himself. I know some folks just like that. It's not a stream they're walking beside. It's a bathroom mirror they're looking in, but it's the same thing. Falls in love with himself. And he loves himself so much that he can't bear to move from the place. And he takes roots, and he turns into a flower. And that's the legend of Narcissus. I want to hang that on a shelf for a second. I want to preach to people tonight that God gives gifts to. I want to talk to gifted people. I want to talk to blessed people. You are a blessed people. We have nothing to complain about. Listen to me. We have nothing. God's been good to us. And when you put the size of our trials on a scale next to the trials that are worldwide, we have nothing to complain about. And so, I want to talk to people that have accumulated some money. I want to talk to people who have got some education. Sometimes it seems like the more letters you get behind your name, the less you can praise God. The smarter we get, the dumber we get. I know some smart, dumb folks. Amen. And I hope you get a bachelor's degree. I hope you get a master's. Go ahead, get you a PhD while you're at it. Let's get some education. But in all of that getting, the Bible said wisdom is the principal thing. Amen. Wisdom is the principal thing. And with all of that getting,
get understanding. It shall preserve thee. Exalt wisdom, and it shall preserve thee. Let me say it like this. Don't ever get so smart that you can't talk in tongues. Don't ever get so rich that you can't run the aisles. Matter of fact, if you got money, thank God, you should run the aisles more than anybody. You should be running around the balcony. You should be doing cartwheels. You should be giving God all the glory. He's been good to me. He's provided for me. He's brought me out of the miry clay, and he's worthy. I said he's worthy. Praise God. Beautiful people. Let me talk to all the cute people. All the handsome people. All the ones that are too cute to shout. Man, you better come off of that. You better give God the praise that belongs to him. He's worthy. I came to tell somebody tonight, Jesus is worthy. You're not worthy, but he's worthy. All glory, all honor, all power, it belongs to him. Come on, let's be apostolic. Amen. Let's praise God because he's been good. Let's praise God because of who he is. That money that you have, God gave it to you. That car you're driving, God gave it to you. Those clothes you're wearing, God gave it to you. That family you have, God gave it. God gave it. God gave it to you. So why don't you give him a little glory and a little praise on a Friday night? I know where my blessing came from. So don't fall in love with yourself, Narcissus. The giftings that God gives to us, he gives them to us to glorify him. He didn't give me money so that I could start skipping church. Praise God. He was God when you didn't have two pennies. He was God when nobody cared about you. He was looking out for you when everybody laughed at you and everybody mocked you and you worked hard and you humbled yourself and he exalted you. And now that you've got your crown, now that you see yourself, Narcissus, don't lose sight of who he is and what got you here. Don't lose sight of the fact that he's the one who is here and he sustains you. And that finance was given as a steward in the kingdom of God. And if you don't glorify God, God can take it. Finance can destroy your children. When I started my church in Fort Myers, I had an amazing thing happen. It was a Easter Sunday. We were excited. We had just broke the 100 member mark. We'd been there for about 5 years, and we were so happy just to have warm bodies in church. And we had us a little choir, and we'd got ourselves some choir robes. And we had learned how to sway. The first time we tried it, it was bad. Everybody was just all over the place, but we got synchronized finally, and we kind of got a little bump to our music, and we were excited. We loved Jesus. And now that we had climbed from ignominy up to some place of stability, I remember the day when three groups of people came to church. They were wealthy people, and I knew them all. I was in Bible study with each one of them, with two of them. One of them I was working with. And I watched him walk into the church. The first one, He had made some money in real estate, and he was really impressed with himself. He was so impressed with himself. He had gone to the gym and got him some little gym muscles. Got him a little trophy girlfriend. Had some money in the bank, and he walked in with his chest puffed out. He was handsome. He was in the prime of life. He was Narcissus. And he stood there, lord of his domain. Look at me. And I watched him. I knew God can save anybody. I had hopes for him. And then I watched a second group come in. He was worth about five times what the first guy was. He got himself some gym muscles, had himself a trophy wife, and he walked in with his chest puffed out. And I thought to myself, if the first guy knew what the second guy had, he wouldn't be so puffed up right now. Narcissus and Narcissus. And then in the back door came this little short guy. He was from Germany. He didn't speak very good English. He was short and round and fuzzy. Big smile. And you could walk right by him and dismiss him because he didn't seem to be what some folks would call the appearance of success. What neither one of those two guys knew was he was a billionaire shipping magnate. And he was up on the front row with his hands just in the air, just waving them back and forth, happy to be feeling God. And I looked at all of that, and all I could think about was the foolishness of this temporary world and the stuff that we get preoccupied by. Praise God. I'm talking about gifted people tonight. I'm talking about vanity tonight. I'm talking about in all of your getting and all of your accumulating, make sure that you align with God. Make sure that God gets the glory. Hallelujah. Make sure that it's directed towards Him. The giftings that you have are there to glorify Him. The blessings that you have are there to give Him honor and to give Him praise. In the few moments of life that you enjoy, go ahead and channel it to where it belongs. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. And I want to be a steward of this life. I want to be a steward of the kingdom of God and the influence that God gives me in this moment. I look back at the greats that have come before me. I look at preachers that moved the world and they preached messages that shaped me and molded me. And I look back in their hair. Their hair is wavy and dark and their eyes are flashing and they're preaching in the prime of life, in the flower of their life, and their faculties are there and they were amazing and they allowed God to use them for His glory. Every gift you have is to glorify God. Amen. Every dollar you make is to glorify God. Praise God. The charisma that you use, don't use it to manipulate people. Use it to glorify God. The education that you have, don't use it to deny Him. Don't turn into an atheist because you've got a couple psychology classes under your belt, but use it to glorify Him and to describe His greatness and to give honor. Because you can fall in love with yourself. There's something powerful about the alignment of a human's giftings with the glory of God. Hallelujah. There's something powerful about it. And we are so immersed in self in this generation that there's even a thing called narcissism. That's where I knew what God was going to say today, Brother Sutton. You touched on it. The Holy Ghost inspires you. It quickens my heart. I was wrestling with it. But we are living in a narcissistic world. Everything's about me. Everything's about us. What do they think about me? What can I post? I see people that if you go through their social media profile, I'm talking to people my age, I'm talking to people that are very aware of this, younger than me, you go through their profile, every picture is them. And I know you're slick. Sometimes you put one or two people around you like it's about them. You know it's not about. The ones I love the most are the ones that put a scripture on it. All cool looking and suave looking, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We see you. We know what you're doing. You got to be careful, because you can fall in love with yourself. You can gauge your self-worth by how many likes you have, and by who seems to be accepting you and who doesn't seem to be accepting you. And the problem is, that's not the message of the cross. That's not the message of deny yourself. Take up your cross. And not on Easter and not on Sunday, but take up your cross daily. Daily. Pick it up when you wake up in the morning. Put that cross and follow after Jesus Christ. Follow after him. And it's a crucified life. It's a broken life. It's a selfless life. Paul said, I will spend and be spent for you. I remember my grandfather. The greatest among us can wrestle with these things. You can only be told you're great so many times before you start to believe you're great. And Grandpa looked at my grandma one day and said, he was the general superintendent of a large body. He looked at Grandma, he said, where in the world would you be today without me? And she looked back at him and she said, I'd be the wife of the general superintendent. See what she did? It is possible to get a little bit full of yourself. It is possible to get to thinking that you're really all of that in a bag of chips. But sometimes God's got to take you and remind you that it's all about him. Amen. It's all about him. So the giftings that you have, go ahead and give them to God. The advantages that you have, give them to God. We don't need another group of people that are full of themselves and try to soak up as much glory as they can. Are you pretty? Are you handsome? Then take advantage of the genetic benefits you have and give God glory. Lead people to the glory of God. We don't need another jerk. We don't need another prima donna. We don't need somebody that's full of himself. We need somebody that's full of Jesus Christ. We need somebody that knows who they are and knows who he is and are very aware. Praise God. I want to preach to the Sauls that are head and shoulders above the people around them. I want to talk to people, and it can be whatever gifting you want to talk about, whatever crown God has given you. We're Americans, so we don't have monarchical crowns. We don't have royal lineage, but we have our American crownings, which is education, which is finance, which is genetics. It's the stuff that we look to for affirmation and for glory. So however God has blessed you, I wonder what you're going to do with it. Because that gifting is designed to lead people to God. He didn't give you charisma for you to waste it. He gave you charisma to walk up to somebody that needs help and to lead them. You know how to talk. You're a good talker. Then lead people to God. You should be the best Bible study teacher that people have ever seen. You should be the best.
You should be able to walk over to somebody that's struggling and put your arm around them and use the gift of gab that God gave you to lift them up out of that pit, to lift them up out of that darkness, to help them overcome. They can't do it. They can't find their way out. You know how to do it. So use it for the glory of God. Because there is a household of gifted, talented people that are in the Lord.
And they've overcome themselves. And they've moved past themselves. I don't know that we can find a better example of narcissism than King Saul. Can I take my time? I want to get into it because when we first see Saul, Saul is afraid. And I want to tell you that a big part of narcissism and pride and arrogance is fear. You're so afraid that people are going to see how pathetic you really are. I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. We're all pathetic. We're just going to get past it. We're going to put it out on the table tonight. We know you're crazy. So are we. We all need Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. You're not good without the Holy Ghost, and I'm not good without the Holy Ghost. So let's get past all that. I'm not wondering if you're crazy. I know you're crazy. But when I get Jesus in my life, when I get filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And there were traits that Saul had. The Bible says that he was goodly to look upon. The Bible says that from his shoulders and upward, that he was above the people. We use the phrase head and shoulders, but the Bible says shoulders and upward. And he is looked upon with honor. And the people they gravitate to leaders. People look for leaders. And if you have leadership ability, make sure that you have it in alignment with heaven. A convergence of natural ability with divine calling. Hallelujah. Don't do it when it's too late and you've spent your life in sin. Don't do it when you have 5 minutes of life left and you're on your hospital bed. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When you have the prime of your life, God gave you those abilities to glorify Him. Don't you lead people into rebellion? Don't you lead people away from the church? Don't you cause people to backslide? Don't you lead people into drug addiction? But you bring them to the house of God. You grab them by the hand and say, I'm a leader and I'm bringing somebody to my Father's house. I'm bringing somebody. I'm going to put the enemy on the run. God gave me power. God gave me charisma. And I'm going to use it for His glory. Amen. Narcissus. Give yourself to the things of the Lord. Amen. We're talking about becoming what God wants you to be. We're talking about the giftings. And you heard it today. Brother Sutton said there's a little bit of God inside of us. And when you get that crown and when you achieve, make sure you use it for what God designed it for. Because there were things that caused God to choose Saul. The Bible says that he was looking for his father's donkeys. If I had the time, I'd preach to you about people are valuable because they look for burden. Might be your father's burden, but at least it's a search for burden. Sooner or later, if you find your father's burden, it can become your burden. And something about that touched the heart of God. Something about Saul, so humble. So the Bible says that he was small in his own sight. So unaware, so afraid that he's hiding among the stuff when they go to coronate him. And at the beginning, God uses him. He puts the Philistines on the run. Amen. He's using his gift for the glory of God. He's using it for what God intended it to be used for. There was something that caused Samuel to love him and something that caused God to anoint him. Praise God. If you have those giftings, then keep them in alignment. I wonder where it went wrong. I have a feeling that he never got over fear. Narcissism is to a large degree about fear. I'm afraid people are going to see how unable I really am. I'm afraid I've got to, if you study it, it's building a false self. It's building a self that is indestructible and that has great power and everything's perfect with you. And that's narcissism defined. And you got to act like everything's perfect and everything is great. And somehow or another, it all becomes about you. Don't ever forget, it's not my kingdom. It's his kingdom. Praise God. Praise. And I want to talk to the closet narcissists. I want to talk to the people that maybe you don't look like you're proud. Maybe you look like you're depressed all the time. Maybe you don't think anybody likes you and nobody cares about you. And you mope around and you're upset all the time and you wish you could be the most popular. Be careful, because there's a closet narcissism. Because even though it's inverted, it's still all about you. They didn't think I'm good enough. Nobody likes me. Nobody thinks I'm good. I wish somebody would give me. Well, you didn't show me that kind of love. Where was that at for me? This is not about you. This is not about me. This is about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to learn to give him glory. In the middle of your trial, give him glory. Because you can fall in love with self. You can use your natural giftings to glorify yourself. When you should be chasing the enemies of God and winning battles for God, it is possible to chase your brother. It is possible to look through the lens of self. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Bible says that one day Saul, backslidden in his heart, he's lost something. He's forsaken the things of God. He can't hear Samuel anymore. The Bible says he hears the maidens of Israel singing a song that Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s, right? You can look at things through carnal eyes. And when it's all about you, the paradigm, the prism through which you view life is all about you. It's all about me. And Saul, when he heard the song, he immediately interpreted it. They don't like me. They're giving David credit that he's slain 10,000s, and me, it's a mere thousands. And the carnal mind is all about self and glorifying self in the kingdom of this earth. You could flip that around and you could use a very spiritual Holy Ghost mindset. A Holy Ghost mind can hear the same song and come away with a completely different interpretation. Praise God. Because your Bible says that one would put 1,000 to flight and two would put 10,000 to flight. When you realize that it's not all about you, it's all about him. That doesn't mean David's better than me. That means if I can do this by myself, what can I do when David's with me? If I can do this, come on, there's got to be a spirit of unity that grabs a hold of you. And you got to look at this through Holy Ghost eyes. What can I do if Doug Walker's by my side? What could I do if Brother Sutton, Brother Collins are by my side? I'm not alone, but God has given me strength. And come on, I need you. We need to worship God together. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's not about me. I can't teach a Bible study, Brother Sutton. I'm not good enough. They're not going to listen to me, 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 me. And there's an inverted narcissism there. You're not really saying that you can't do it. You're saying God can't do it. You're really saying I don't believe him. You're really saying I'm too proud to go out and fumble and stumble and fall. That's what you're really saying. Come on. Come on. Go ahead and give God glory. Step out and watch what he'll do in your life. Watch the battles. What? You don't have to look much further to find an Absalom. You don't have to look very far to find long, thick hair and a glib tongue and someone who stands in the gate of Israel and steals the heart of the people and undermines the kingdom of God. I am sick to death of gifted people losing the faith. I'm talking about musicians who can play like angels, but they wind up living like devils. You're a musician, you can play. You're good. You're gifted. Praise God. Make sure that you keep glorifying God. Back when you used to play Mary Had a Little Lamb and you hit the wrong chord and you hit the wrong note and you plunked your way through youth service, remember those days. Remember the God that brought you from the very beginning. And now that you play skillfully, keep giving God the glory. Keep magnifying His name. Well, now I hit the big time. I guess I need to go where the money's at. I guess I need to go where people pay me big money. And creative people and gifted people, they fall in love with themselves. I watch as they go into the world of Trinitarianism. I watch as they fall in love with fads. I don't care how gifted you are, you'll never get away from the fact that you need to pray every day. If you want to avoid the trap, Narcissus, you have to pray every day. You got to hear the voice of God. And if in all of your gifting, you can hang on to the voice of the shepherd, if you can hang on to those verses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I'm talking about a King David ministry. I'm talking about a ministry where all of the giftings come together. And in all of the coming together, he never forgot how to write the Psalms. He never forgot how to dance before the Lord with all of his might. He never forgot. In that one man, he's a warrior. In that one man, he's a poet. In that one man, he's a songwriter. In that one man, he's a musician. In that one man, he's a king. In that one man, he's a shepherd. And there's an alignment and a convergence of power and authority that built a kingdom the likes of which the world has never seen. I'm talking about the sweet psalmist of Israel. I'm talking about the one that put Goliath down. You want to knock Goliath down? Let God use the giftings that he gave you in alignment. Because I don't care how gifted you are, Saul, if you're not anointed, you'll hide in your throne room. When Goliath shows up, I've come to the conclusion that we don't need to be built on talent, we need to be built on the Word of God. Woo. I like gifted musicians that can quote the Word of God. I like gifted people that are in love with the voice of the shepherd. Praise God. That word will get you through. When compromisers come and try to seduce you, that word will get you through. Don't you think they haven't come to me? Nathaniel, if you would just join us. Do you realize what you could do? Do you realize the doors that could open up to you? Do you realize what awaits you out here? And the seducers and the compromisers, they come and they whisper, "But I'm not in love with that voice. I'm in love with the voice of my shepherd. And I know the voice of my shepherd. And I will not go unto another. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, preached unto the Gentiles, and received up into glory. I know the voice of my shepherd. You ever wonder why David had the courage to face Goliath? He's a musician. He's a warrior. He's killed a lion. He's killed a bear. And he references those things. But I think I know why he faced Goliath. I have a suspicion I know why he faced him. Praise God. I believe it was the word of God. Music won't do it, but the word will. Charisma won't do it, but the word will. Those are giftings, but we're built on the word. Amen. We're built on the word of God, and David had a word. So I want to tell somebody tonight, in all of your gifting, get the word of God underneath you. Get your feet planted on the rock, because you're going to need that word. You're going to need that word when the winds of temptation start blowing. I hope you're here in 5 years. I pray you're here in 10 years. I pray that you're built upon the word, because heaven and earth pass away, but the word doesn't pass away. You know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to a church. I'm preaching to a people that are in love with the word of God. Let me tell you the word. Let me tell you the word. Samuel came and said, "You're going to be the next king of Israel. Kneel down here, David." David kneels. Samuel uncorks the horn and he pours the oil over the top of him and says, "You're going to be the next king of Israel." David had a word from God. You've got to get a word from God. Thank God for these conferences where you can come and get a word from God. Thank God for preachers that'll stand up here and you can get a word from God. Some of you came from a long way off, and on a Friday night, you need to hear the word of God. Because you're going to be the next king of Israel, David. I've anointed you. I've anointed you to be the next king of Israel. When Goliath shouted against Israel, David looked around and said, "I don't know everything, but I know one thing. I know that God can't lie, and I know I'm not the king yet." I'm gonna wait for everybody to stay with me on that. Amen. God cannot lie, and I'm not the king yet. I've got an anointing on my life. So let me translate it. I'm going to die, but it ain't going to be today, because I'm going to be the king. And I'm looking at a giant, and he's defying the armies of God. I've got something from heaven. I've got a word from God. And I might die, but it ain't going to be today. And so today, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. There'll be an anointing that propels you. There'll be a power that propels you. There'll be an authority. When you align yourself with heaven, Saul was afraid of Goliath because Saul was afraid he couldn't whoop him. David didn't go to him and say, "I'm afraid you're going to whoop me." He said, "Who do you think you are to defy the armies of the living God? I'm not here for me. I'm here for him. And if I'm here for him, I got angels on my side. I've got an anointing. I've got an anointing at work in my life. I've got an anointing that destroys the yoke. I've got an anointing that makes giants fall. I've got anointing that slays lions and that slays bears. I've got an anointing that'll keep me on the cold Galilean nights. I've got an anointing." Come on, David. Grab a hold of your anointing. Woo. I'm talking about a convergence of giftings that aligns with what God's doing. Praise God. I'm talking to the household of Narcissus. I'm talking to a bunch of people that when God puts the throne on your head, when it comes time, you take that throne off, that crown off, you take that robe off, and you dance before the Lord with all of your might. I'm talking about an administration that makes the Philistines run. I'm talking about a power that runs the devil out. I'm talking about something that when you start to play, evil spirits start heading for the exit. I'm talking about... ruddy. You can be goodly to look upon. You can be the sweet psalmist of Israel. You can be all those things, but you can be a man after God's own heart. Come on, somebody, lift your hands in this room right now. Right where you are, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to give glory to Him. Come on, take the spotlight off of me and put it on heaven. Take the spotlight off of me and put it on Jesus. Take the spotlight. Come on, Narcissus. Come on, household of Narcissus. You're in the Lord. You're in the Lord. Your gifting comes from God. If you can play, play unto the Lord. If you got finance, give unto the Lord. If you can preach, preach unto the Lord. Come on, somebody give Him praise right now. All over this building, I want somebody to give Him praise right now. I want you to forget about yourself. I want you to forget about who's watching. It doesn't matter. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, Narcissus. Look at your reflection and look away and say, He's worthy. He's holy. He's righteous. There's none beside Him, none before Him, none after Him. Greet the household of Narcissus that are in the Lord. I'm talking to people right now. I can feel giftings coming together right now. I can feel God opening up doors inside of young men, inside of young ladies. God is opening up doors. You're flowering into your potential. How about we give God all the glory for that? Come on, honey. I know your hair's pretty, but why don't you shout your hair down when you're in the presence of the Lord? Come on, young man. I know your tie is nice. I know your suit is fit, but why don't you go ahead and just shout a little bit in the presence of the living God? God gave it to me. 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 Hallelujah. Somebody step out from where you are. Let's close down this service tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when John the Revelator looked up into heaven, the Bible said he saw a multitude, and they had white robes, and they had crowns. And they took the crowns off of their head. I'm talking to people that have arrived. I'm talking to people that have finally made it. I'm talking to people that have succeeded. And when they got there, they didn't forget God. They threw their crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ. And they said, "Thou art worthy." Come on Friday night. I want somebody to praise Him with me. Thou art worthy. You gave me this blessing. You gave me my children. You gave me my marriage. You gave me my health. You gave me my church family. You gave me my skills. You gave me my blessing. You gave me my finance. Somebody go ahead and lift your hands right now. Somebody shout. Come on, David. I want you to shout before the Ark of the Covenant. I want to be apostolic on a Friday night. Come on, Narcissus. Come on, gifted man. Come on, blessed young ladies.
you're young, praise Him. While you're young, praise Him. While you're healthy, praise Him.
I want to know something tonight. I want to know something in this house. I want to know why it is that the more people get, the less they praise God. The more money you get, the more inclined you are to sit back and chill. The more education you get, the more you cross your arms and get dignified as though God didn't give you everything you have. I want you to remember when you didn't have anything. And you had nothing, how you prayed and worshiped and danced and glorified God. In the United States, we have more than anybody else in the world, and we should praise God louder and stronger than anybody else. So here's what I want. I don't want you to give God a spoiled, rich, lazy first world praise. I want you to give God a praise like you might die tomorrow. I want you to give God a praise like you have nothing, like you don't have another dime to your name. I want you to praise Him like that. I want you to shout like that. Come on,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. For your mercy.
Come on,
for your kindness.
Come on,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to praise Him.
Praise Him.
Praise Him.
Praise Him!
Praise Him!
Praise Him!
Praise Him!
Praise Him!
Praise Him!
Let's lift our hands to heaven tonight. Let's glorify Him. Come on, somebody, glorify His name.
That's the Holy Ghost moving over you right now. God's empowering people in this place. Come on, we're turning the spotlight on Jesus Christ. In the 70 years that I have on this earth, I'm turning the spotlight on Jesus Christ. Come on, I don't need the glory. You don't need the glory. The glory belongs to Him. So take off your crown, Narcissus. Take off your crown, David, and give it to the one who's worthy. On this power to become here tonight. This power to become what God has called you to be. This power to walk into the potential and the fullness of the purpose of God. God wants me to tell this gathering of people here on a Friday night the root word of Narcissus is a Greek word, and it's called narkeo. It's where you get the word narcotic from. And it means to grow numb. It means to numb yourself from pain. It means to shield yourself from fear. It means to desensitize yourself. And we have a lot of people high on themselves. But I'm looking for a household of Narcissus that's in the Lord. I'm looking for people who gets their sustenance from the Lord. You don't need another Instagram like. You don't need another Facebook click. You don't need another drug. You don't need another whatever. What you need is another touch of the Holy Ghost. All over this building, while they continue to lead in worship, I want somebody just to addict yourself to the things of God tonight. I want you to fall in love with the touch of the Master. I want you to know that He's worthy. My fulfillment is in Him. My strength is in Him. He's my exceeding great portion. He's my exceeding great reward. He's more than enough.
I'll do it. Praise the Lord. Some of you are doing it already. Get out of yourself. Lay hands on somebody near you right now and pray God's blessing and strength. Let the Holy Ghost pray through you. You be vessel. You be the conduit tonight. Let that Holy Ghost flow through you. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody praying with somebody.
Gotta be where you are.
Not about me. It's not about me.
Wanna be where you are.
God, use me to be a blessing.
Gotta be where you are.
Wanna be where you are.
Gotta be where you are.
Gotta be where you are.
Wanna be where you are.
Come on, give a voice to that prayer. Give some energy to that prayer. Let that Holy Ghost flow forth.
Dwelling in your presence.
Wanna be where you are.
And I've gotta be where you are.
Gotta be where you are.
Oh, I wanna be where you are.
Wanna be where you are.
I've gotta be where you are.
Gotta be where you are.
I wanna be where you are.
Wanna be where you are.
And I've gotta be.
Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our hearts, our hands, our voices to God. Just love on Him a little bit here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You. We bless Your name. We praise You. Oh. Praise the Lord. If you're praying and you dug in, stay there. Whatever you want to do tonight. As you go your way, be a blessing to somebody in this house. Be a blessing to somebody. Tomorrow morning, Brother Wilson's going to be on deck at 10. And we're just going to give him all the time he wants. Let him take his liberty. We're going to have a wonderful time of word fellowship in the house. I want you to go and enjoy yourself and have great godly fellowship tonight in the house of God down at the gym. Brother Urshan, thank you so much. Thank you so much for a wonderful word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We love you. We appreciate you. With a word straight from God for us tonight. So good to have Brother Bertram, our neighbor, with us, and also Brother James Williams, our neighbor. Great to have the Cardenases, the Savalas from Carrollton with us, and all of our friends and neighbors. God bless you. So good to see you in the house tonight. Mm-hmm.